Okay, Alexandra, let's do an update on what's going on in Haiti. We've got a lot. Very strange stuff. The more this story goes on, the weirder it gets, I have to admit. Let me go to Zero Hedge and pick it up from there. And the second paragraph on Zero Hedge says that on Sunday, the National Police Chief, Leon Charles, announced that Christian Emmanuel Sanon, age 63, was arrested for allegedly recruiting the mercenaries, as their mission would be to protect him. And this is where it gets strange. Sanon landed in Haiti on a private jet in early June with political objectives, Charles said. That's a quote. The team Sanon hired was recruited through a South Florida firm called CTU Security. But the team's mission quickly changed when they were given new orders to arrest President Moisi. Very weird. Many questions remain unanswered about the mysterious plot that led to the president's assassination last week at his private residence in Port-au-Prince in Haiti's capital. The police chief said this, and I quote, "The initial mission was given to these assailants was to protect the individual named Emmanuel Sanon. But afterwards, the mission changed." So, Alexander, we have this guy from the U.S. landing in Haiti, hires mercenaries. This is what the story we're getting. Their job was to protect him, and suddenly their job, their mission changes, and it's to arrest Moisi, in which case it doesn't turn into an arrest, and it turns into an assassination. I'm sure you're going to add more context to this, Alexander, and your thoughts as to what's going on and what is a very strange development in Haiti.
Well, I think the first thing I'm going to say is that we were very skeptical about the official story in our previous program. And I think that that skepticism is becoming vindicated, because the more we hear about this from the official sources, the more improbable and bizarre this story gets. And I have to say, I've now reached that point where I just don't believe anything. Or at least I don't assume that anything we're being told is true. Let me make a few quick observations. It seems that not a single one of President Moise's bodyguards was injured. This is the man who's, you know, president of the country. He's supposed to be protected. He's the target of an assassination. Some government officials are saying that he was tortured to death. And that's what we've been told. And yet none of the people who are there, who are tasked to protect him, seem to have taken any step to protect him, or seem to have been injured or hurt or killed or anything at all. Now, I mean, already that doesn't make any kind of sense. Now, we've heard another story, and this comes from some of the families of some of these people who were taken, who, you know, were recruited in Colombia. And also from apparently some of the actual two indigenous Haitian people who were American Haitians, apparently, who were involved, which is that they were apparently told, or supposedly told, that they were actually going to arrest someone, and that they were going to do it in performance of some court order. Which court? Which order? Again, I mean, this is... That's what they say they were told. Now we hear this story about this person who comes flying into Haiti on a private jet, wants all these mercenaries there to protect him. Well, you know, 27 of them, whatever it is. I mean, it seems like a huge bodyguard detail. And then he somehow directs them instead to go and assassinate the president of the country. Then these people who've been recruited for a completely different purpose, a bodyguard purpose, apparently none of them objects. None of them says, you know, hold on a moment. This isn't quite what I signed up to do. I haven't really come to this country in order to come and assassinate a president. But, you know, they apparently all go off and loyally carry out this mission. They don't leak the fact to anybody. And as I said, they assassinate the president without any one of his bodyguards, apparently, the president's own guards, be injured or hurt at all. Now, I have to say, I just don't believe this. None of this makes any kind of sense. It seems to me much more likely, and I know that there's this rumour flying around Haiti, and I saw it, by the way, reported in, of all places, The Guardian, that the president was most probably assassinated by his own guards, and that this story of these people being brought in to carry out this assassination is essentially a cover story arranged by the people who make up the government and who arranged the assassination in order to cover up what their own involvement and what they did. That seems to me the most plausible explanation of the ones I've seen. I want to stress, I don't know what it's true, whether or not it's true. But I mean, even the mainstream media, even The Guardian, where I saw this theory, is now beginning to become increasingly sceptical about it. And that, frankly, seems to me to make more sense.
Yeah, that's what I'm reading, too. It was an inside job. And I'm reading that even all the way down to the police chief, everyone is involved. And that's where we're getting all these different narratives coming out. I don't understand why this guy with this doctor from Florida would fly into Haiti either and want to do what he did or need this protection. I don't understand why these people that were supposedly working security detail would then all of a sudden change their mission to arrest the president. Why? On what grounds? And then end up killing the president. None of it makes any sense whatsoever. Where was the security detail? How come they didn't fight back? What about the DEA narrative? All of that we heard in the beginning. There's a lot of stuff that's constantly being changed and fiddled around with. It smells to me, Alexander, like this was a coup d'etat, for lack of a better word, in which they killed the president. In any coup, real quick, in any coup, your first job in the coup, obviously, is to seize control of all the security apparatuses and make sure you lock down the country. But one of the major things you have to do is you have to get rid of, either arrest or dispose of, the current leader. In any coup, exactly. That's rule number one. You have to get rid of that figurehead. One way or another, either arrest or assassinate. It seems to me like that's what they did in this situation. Whoever they is,
absolutely, that's exactly right, and that's exactly how it looks to me. I mean, I can come up with no plausible alternative explanation for this, because all the alternatives which we are hearing, just none of them makes any kind of sense. So somebody, it was an inside job. That's how it looks to me. Somebody wanted to remove the president. That's again how it looks to both of us. And they removed him by killing him. And then they brought in all these Colombian patsies in order to set them up as the assassination detail. And some of them have now been killed, and the rest have been arrested. But we can be sure that they're all going to be removed in some sort of way. And it is interesting, by the way, that these same group of people who are now in control, what do they? The very first thing they do, of course, is they turn to the United States and ask for U.S. troops to be sent there. Now, bear in mind that this particular government that there is in the country now, as I said, is essentially the lineal descendant of a government that was set up in Haiti in the 1990s by the Clintons. And it may not be a coincidence that was, of course, a Democrat administration then. We have a Democrat administration now. The Clintons sent US troops to Haiti. Could be that they're going back to Haiti again. And it may very well be that it's the same people who are, well, not the same people, but the lineal descendants of the same people who are involved in Haiti. And of course, it's in some cases exactly the same people who are involved in Washington. I don't want to make too much of that, because I don't think there's enough information to.
No, we just don't know. And we'll probably never find out. Given the 10 different stories that are floating around, it seems like the objective now is to misinform, to just give us a bunch of different narratives, confuse us, misinform everybody, and eventually the story will fall out of the news cycle, and whoever committed this act will be in power. And my question becomes then, what do they benefit from Haiti? Why Haiti? Was Moise perhaps turning on this power structure that was there previously? We can call it, let's call it the Clintons for now, just to put a label on it. Was he perhaps thinking of turning on them? Was he thinking of moving in a different direction? Or is there some other motive that for the another motive or a different reason why this power structure, this Clinton structure, and I'm just calling it the Clinton, just to put a label on it. But is there another reason why they want to continue to control Haiti? Something else, a resource,
right.
Economic benefit. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to make two guesses, and they're not, by the way, mutually exclusive. They might each complement each other. I mean, he was trying to hang on. Moise was trying to hang on beyond the extension, beyond his term. His term was supposed to end this year. He was trying to cling on till 2022, saying that his term ended there, then, and perhaps stay on even longer, and that was provoking protests, and so he might have becoming an embarrassment. And by the fact that he was clinging on, there may have been some people who were worried that he was calling the entire structure into question. In other words, threatening the whole stability of this very rickety, very corrupt structure, which was imposed, as I said, by the Clintons back in the 1990s. So that may have been one reason why they got rid of him. And note, by the way, again, that they're asking for US troops to be deployed to the island. Why do they need the troops? If all the people who assassinated Moise have been rounded up and killed, what is the reason for calling in US troops? Suggests that it's, again, the crisis in Haiti is an internal one, not something hatched by some Florida doctor. It's an internal one, and that there's some kind of power struggle going on, or perhaps a regime, I'm going to call it a regime, which feels that it isn't in secure control of the country and needs external backing. So it could be that, or it could be that Moise himself was resisting demands for these troops to be brought into Haiti. And that maybe that was the whole story. Maybe they were saying to him, look, we're facing all these protests, there's all these demonstrations, people are very unhappy, we can't entirely rely on the security forces, there may be a bloodbath that could put us in an even more precarious position. Let's call on our friends in Washington, deploy American troops to Haiti, and that will stabilize the situation. And maybe for whatever reason, maybe because he was afraid that, you know, the Americans might decide that they would get rid of him, maybe Moise resisted that. And that's why he had to be removed, in order to make it possible to deploy the US troops in the island. And the third possibility, and I want to stress again, these are not contradictory things. They're not mutually exclusive. They could all be true at the same time. Maybe the third reason is that there is a quarrel about this division of the criminal proceeds. I mean, this is very common. By the way, the story that there's honour amongst thieves, anybody who's had to work with thieves, as I had to do once upon a time long ago, and deal with them, you know, from a law enforcement angle, knows that there is no such thing as honour amongst thieves. It could be that they were quarrelling amongst a division of the proceeds. Haiti is widely suspected to be very much at the center of the international drugs trade, cocaine trafficking and all that. And it could be that it was all about that, that he was demanding and perhaps getting a bigger cut than some people thought that he was entitled to. Again, I stress, I don't know that for a fact, but when people fall out in this way, when a contract killing, which is what this is being presented as, takes place, then you often have to consider a criminal explanation.
I've got one final question for you. I'm going to stretch this out a little. This may be a stretch. Maybe it's not. But let's go for it. Why not? Let's have some fun here. Protests in Cuba. We've done a program on it. Now we have this in Haiti. So we see something is going on, maybe, in the Caribbean. We know that the U.S. is pulling out of places like, or trying to pull out of places like Afghanistan, perhaps Syria. We also know that the U.S. is the surveillance state in the United States is definitely putting a focus internally, extremism and going after American citizens. We have the events of January 6th and how they're going to go after Americans there. Do you think that there may be some sort of narrative of the United States saying, in general, this is just a general assumption, saying, you know what, these places far away, where we're just not going to invest in these places, i.e. Afghanistan. We're going to start looking in our hemisphere and look to keep control, take control and keep control of our hemisphere, whether it's in the United States and control our population there, or whether it's in many of these nations in and around us, these satellite countries in and around us, and make sure that we control those, kind of reassert the Monroe Doctrine, so to speak. We could even talk about Venezuela, for example, and how that coup failed. But the U.S. is still, you know, Guaido's still floating around there, even though I heard that they raided his apartment and they may arrest him. But anyway, you know, maybe this is kind of the United States saying, you know what, we're going to draw a little bit back towards us and look to control our neighborhood. And when I mean control, I really mean control. I don't know. Maybe I'm stretching it a little, but I don't know. Cuba, Haiti, the pull out of Afghanistan, all these things that seem to be going on. Maybe there's a connection. Maybe not.
I don't know that there is a connection or not, but I think that's an entirely plausible theory and not one that should be discounted at all. And on the subject of Venezuela, it may not be a coincidence that there was a violent incident there. There was fighting between the Venezuelan military and some kind of armed group, which we don't really know very much about. So it's again been represented by the government in Caracas as a criminal event. But of course, it could have been more than that. But what you're saying, as a general principle, that a great power may be saying to itself that, you know, we're going to pull back from peripheral places far away that are not really important to us and consolidate control on our actual sphere of influence. And that means that we're not going to tolerate governments like the one in Cuba, erratic presidents like the one in Haiti, rebel governments like the one in Venezuela. That would not surprise me at all. That is absolutely how great powers often think. That's traditional about great powers. That's not necessarily a neocon thing, by the way. It's a sort of realistic policy that many great powers take view. You know, especially at a time when you're retreating from your far abroad, you want to make sure that your base is secure. And it's very easy to see that they might see the Gulf of Mexico, the Caribbean, these places as an essential part of their base, and that they might want to be controlling, regain control, reassert control of countries there. And Haiti is an obvious target. Now, for reasons which, to be entirely frank, I've never completely understood, the United States has been extremely interested in Haiti. I mean, it sent troops to the island way back in 1915. It basically ran the island until the 1920s. It's actively intervened there regularly. The Clintons, as I said, sent troops back there in the 90s. I mean, this has been a constant story of the U.S. taking Haiti extremely seriously. That might be why they're asserting control at this time. And it could very well be that the protests we're seeing in Cuba, which, you know, social media and all that has played a role in them too, but it could very well be that the protests in Cuba are in part connected to that. And it could be that this incident in Venezuela that I was talking about, this violent incident, which we don't know very much about, that that's connected to it too. Haiti is an obvious place to start because US influence there is already so strong. So you can control the situation in Haiti very easily. Of course, Cuba and Venezuela are much, much tougher nuts to crack. But it's entirely possible that we could be seeing a renewed US effort to reassert control of its old neighborhood. And can I just say again, that would be a classic response of great powers to periods of retreat. We know when they're drawing back from the farthest reaches of your imperium, you want to be absolutely sure that you have tight control of your own base. That's not necessarily a neocon project at all.
Yeah, we've done shows on Colombia. We've talked, we've done live streams and talked about Peru. I mean, it seems as we do more and more shows, South America, Latin America, the Caribbean, the whole hemisphere seems to be more and more of a focus for us as well as we're doing more shows. It just means that there's more activity going on there. And I just think to myself, is this coincidence or is this something else going on in the region?
Well, I mean, coincidences happen. I'm afraid this kind of thing, coincidence seems actually rather far-fetched. I mean, when you detect a pattern, it's usually in geopolitics. A pattern usually means something. I mean, that's always been my experience. Coincidences happen, but as I said, in this instance, I think it's more than just coincidence. That's my sense anyway.
Yeah, well, I think as more and more time goes on, we're going to be doing more and more shows on the region because it just seems like a lot of stuff is unraveling or maybe just taking a new direction. And the United States may be behind that new direction. I don't know. Maybe the globalists are behind that new direction. Hard to say at this point.
Hard to say.
All right.
Anyway, certainly an interesting story. I mean, that's all I will say. I mean, it's an absolute whodunit. I mean, it's a real mystery tale. You could write a thriller on it.
and I think it hasn't finished yet, even though I think we're never going to get to the truth.
No.
It hasn't played out yet. I'm curious to see the next narrative that they throw out there as to why this assassination occurred.
Absolutely.
They're getting wilder with each one, with each version.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree.
All right, we'll leave it there, guys. Go to Odyssey, BitChute, Rumble, and the Free Speech Video platform, SuperU, to find all our videos there on those platforms. Go to our Locals community. Post anything you want in our Locals community, guys. It is our community. You can post anything. No censorship. Speak your mind on our Locals community. You'll find a link down below. And, of course, the Durant Shop, 10% off when you use the code REALNEWS. Take care.